The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I will be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, January 23rd through Sunday, January 29th. 2023. The commentary for January was written by Ellis Liu, a youth minister at Christ Church in Bronxville, New York. In her spare time, she enjoys keeping up with sitcoms, stress baking, and good coffee. The commentary for this Monday, January 23rd, begins as follows with a passage from the book of Psalm, chapter 44, verse 24. Why have you hidden your face and forgotten our affliction and oppression? The commentary begins as follows. When I teach about the Bible, I like to say that every human emotion can be found in the Bible. More than that, every human emotion can be found in the Psalms. I love that these texts, the Songbook of King David, express human joy, adoration, anger, love, and deep sorrow. The early monastics used to recite all 150 psalms every single day through the divine office. Later, this was spread out over the course of a week. My favorite psalms are deeply sad. At the stripping of the altar every Maundy Thursday, we recite together Psalm 22, which begins with the words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus himself cries out these words upon the cross. Today's psalm likewise captures someone who feels abandoned and forgotten by God. The last verse reminds God of the promise to be steadfast in love. What comfort we can find in Christ himself, who knows the feeling of God-forsakenness in the midst of suffering. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Psalm 44 today. And it begins, "We have heard with our ears, O God, our ancestors have told us what deeds you performed in their days, in the days of old. You with your own hand drove out the nations, but them you planted. You afflicted the peoples, but them you set free. For not by their own sword did they win the land, nor did they their own arm give them victory, but your right hand and your arm and the light of your countenance, for you delighted in them. You are my king and my God. You command victories for Jacob. Through you we push down our foes. Through your name we tread down our assailants. For not in my bow do I trust, nor can I my sword save me. But you have saved us from our foes and have put to confusion those who hate us. In God we have boasted continually, and we give thanks to your name forever. Yet you have rejected us and abased us and have not gone out with our enemies. You made us turn back from the foe, and our enemies have gotten spoil. You have made us like sheep for slaughter and have scattered us among the nations. You have sold your people for a trifle, demanding no high price for them. You have made us the taunt of our neighbors, the derision and scorn of those around us. You have made us a byword among the nations, a laughingstock among the peoples. All day long my disgrace is before me, and shame has covered my face at the words of the taunters and revilers, at the sight of the enemy and the avenger. All this has come upon us, yet we have not forgotten you, or been false to your covenant. Our heart has not turned back, nor have our steps departed from your way. Yet you have broken us in the haunt of jackals and covered us with deep darkness. If we had forgotten the name of our God or spread out our hands to a strange God, would not God discover this? For he knows the secrets of the heart. Because of you we are being killed all day long and accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Rouse yourself. Why do you sleep, O Lord? Awake. Do not cast us off forever. Why do you hide your face? Why do you forget our affliction and oppression? For we sink down to the dust, our bodies cling to the ground. Rise up, come to our help. Redeem us for the sake of your steadfast love. And the moving forward question for this Monday, January 23rd is, what is your favorite psalm? Think about it and share it with a friend or someone at church. Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, January 24th. This is from the letter of Paul to the Galatians, chapter 2, verse 10. They asked only one thing, that we remember the poor, which was actually what I was eager to do. Today we celebrate the eve of Florence Lee Tim Oye's ordination to the priesthood. Mother Florence was born in my hometown of Hong Kong. When I was 24, I attended evensong at St. John's Cathedral in the central neighborhood. Florence was the same age when she attended the ordination service at the cathedral of an English missionary, Lucy Vincent, as a deaconess. Florence answered God's call and followed in Lucy's footsteps to become the first Chinese deaconess in the church. Soon World War II broke out and thousands of refugees fled from Japanese occupation in China. In nearby Macau, Florence became a refugee congregation's only pastor. Because of the conditions of war, the male priests and bishops were not able to cross the closing borders. Florence was soon the only Anglican pastor in the Portuguese colony. Recognizing her ministry to this community in need, her bishop authorized her to celebrate Holy Eucharist and soon called her to make a treacherous journey into China to be ordained a priest. Now I'm going to read the full passage from the book of Galatians. It's from chapter 1, verse 18, through chapter 2, verse 10. Then after 3 years, I did go up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and stayed with him 15 days, but I did not see any other apostle except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown by sight to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard it said, "The one who formerly was persecuting us is now proclaiming the faith he once tried to destroy," and they glorified God because of me. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. I went up in response to a revelation. Then I laid before them, though only in a private meeting with the acknowledged leaders, the gospel that I proclaim among the Gentiles, in order to make sure that I was not running or had not run in vain. But even Titus, who was with me, was not compelled to be circumcised, though he was a Greek, but because of false believers secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus, so that they might enslave us, we did not submit to them, even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might always remain with you. And from those who were supposed to be acknowledged leaders, what they actually were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. Those leaders contributed nothing to me. On the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel for the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel for the circumcised, for he who worked through Peter, making him an apostle to the circumcised, also worked through me in sending me to the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas and John, who were acknowledged pillars, recognized the grace that had been given to me, they gave to Barnabas and me the right hand of fellowship, agreeing that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. They asked only one thing, that we remember the poor, which was actually what I was eager to do. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday is, how can you support ordained women in your life? Now the commentary for Wednesday, January 25th. It begins with a passage from the book of Acts, chapter 26, verse 15a. I asked, "Who are you, Lord?" St. Peter is famously asked by our Lord, "Who do you say that I am?" In today's reading, it is St. Paul who recognizes and asks Jesus, "Who are you, Lord?" On his way to Damascus, Paul is stopped in his tracks by a light brighter than the sun. Sometimes our encounters with God are like this, a clear voice calling us by name, and the experience changes our life forever. Today, who do you say that Jesus is? And when you ask in turn, who are you, Jesus, what have you heard or experienced in response? Whatever the answer, Peter and Paul teach us that Jesus also yearns for a response from us. Both men knew fear and doubt, but each stepped out in faith. Peter became the first bishop of the church, and Paul proclaimed the gospel to the Gentiles. May we follow in their example, letting ourselves be changed by the answer to the question, who is Jesus? And now I'm going to read this full passage for today's scripture from Acts chapter 26, verses 9 through verse 21. Indeed, I myself was convinced that I ought to do many things against the name of Jesus in Nazareth. And that is what I did in Jerusalem. With authority received from the chief priests, I not only locked up many of the saints in prison, but I also cast my vote against them when they were being condemned to death. By punishing them often in all the synagogues, I tried to force them to blaspheme. And since I was so furiously enraged at them, I pursued them even to foreign cities. Paul now tells of his conversion. With this in mind, I was traveling to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests, when at midday along the road, Your Excellency, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and my companions. When we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It hurts you to kick against the goads." I asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The Lord answered, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you to serve and testify to the things in which you have seen me, and to those in which I will appear to you. I will rescue you from your people and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." After that, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout the countryside of Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do deeds consistent with repentance. For this reason the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday is, in your journal or on a scrap of paper, jot down some answers to this question. Who are you, Lord? Now let's turn to the commentary for Thursday, January the 26th. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verse 34b. And Jesus had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. One of my favorite icons is the Good Shepherd. In most versions, Jesus is carrying a lamb around his neck. I have a copy of this icon that sits in my prayer corner. Christ gazes out at the beholder, and in his arms a lamb gazes up at the Good Shepherd in peaceful adoration. I turn to this icon regularly whenever I long to be a sheep in such loving intimacy with our Savior. In today's gospel reading, we are called sheep without a shepherd. I think of viral news stories about sheep who have been lost. As domesticated creatures, they can't shed their wool, so need to be sheared every year. I've also seen flocks of sheep endlessly circle cars because they're each following the sheep in front of them. We all need a good shepherd's loving care. As humans, we're inclined to wander after our own whims, as selfish or noble as they might be. Jesus, out of deep compassion for us, offers himself up to us. Jesus teaches us many things, including how simply to follow him. And now I'm going to read the full passage for today from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6. Verses 30 through 46. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now very late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy something for themselves to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "Are we to go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves have you? Go and see." When they had found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then he ordered them to get all the people to sit down in the groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and of fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them all, and all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. Those who had eaten the loaves numbered 5,000 men. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After saying farewell to them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And the moving forward question for this Thursday is, in what ways do you allow the Lord to be your shepherd? How often do you follow your own lead or that of others instead? Now the commentary for Friday, January 27th, beginning with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verse 50b. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." In the midst of a storm, the disciples do not recognize Jesus. Their first thought is that the figure walking toward them on the water is a ghost. There are accounts in the Gospels of Jesus' friends not recognizing him after his resurrection. Mary Magdalene mistakes Jesus for the gardener until he calls her by name. Cleopas and his companion do not recognize Jesus on their walk to Emmaus until Jesus takes bread, blesses it, breaks it, and gives it to them. Where might you be overlooking Jesus in your life? Saint Benedict reminds us to welcome every stranger as Christ himself. At every turn, it is a small, intimate action that only Jesus would know that reveals God to us, the breaking of bread with our community, the quiet reassurance to take heart, even in times of trouble, the quiet whisper of our own name. And now I'll read from the full passage for today, Mark chapter 6, verses 47 through 56. When evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. When he saw that they were straining at the oars against an adverse wind, he came towards them early in the morning, walking on the sea. He intended to pass them by, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astonished. For they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. And the moving forward question for this day is, where do you recognize Jesus in your life? Now the moving forward commentary for Saturday, January 28th, beginning with Isaiah 51, verse 2. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you, for he was but one when I called him, but I blessed him and made him many. When I was a teenager, my mother began taking us to visit her father's columbarium niche. He died before I was born, so I never knew him beyond the stories I heard while growing up. During the summers that we visited Hong Kong, we would make a day trip to the Christian cemetery overlooking the sea. We would stop to get flowers and fruit, and then take the minibus to that part of the island. As a child, I didn't know what to make of the small ancestral practices my mother kept. As a young adult, I stumbled into the Episcopal tradition by way of an All Souls Day service. I didn't know what to make of the most Catholic thing we do, as the celebrant called our practice of praying for the dead. But over time, this theology for the great company of saints who surrounded us took a root in my personal life. I found language to talk about and relate to my ancestors. The last time I was home, I called my maternal uncle, and we made the trip to visit my grandfather together. And now I'll read from the passage of Isaiah 51, verses 1 through 8. Listen to me that you pursue righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you, for he was but one when I called him. But I blessed him and made him many. For the Lord will comfort Zion, he will comfort all her waste places, and will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Listen to me, my people, and give heed to me, my nation, for a teaching will go out from me, and my justice for a light to the peoples. I will bring near my deliverance swiftly. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will rule the peoples. The coastlands wait for me, and for my arm they hope. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and those who live on it will die like gnats. But my salvation will be forever, and my deliverance will be never ended. Listen to me, you who know righteousness, you people who have my teaching in your hearts, and do not fear the reproach of others, and do not be dismayed when they revile you. And the moving forward question for this day is, do you pray for the dead? Consider adding their names to your prayer list. And we conclude this week with the commentary for Sunday, January 29th, beginning with Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. One of my nun friends says that false humility and pride are merely two sides of the same coin. True humility is to know the reality of how God made you, neither better nor worse than anyone else. It reminds me of the famous story about Rabbi Simcha Bunim, who taught that we should all walk around with two pieces of paper in our pockets. One reads, "The world was created just for me," while the other reads, "I am but ashes and dust." Wisdom is learning when to read which slip of paper. It is no accident that the prophet today pairs walking humbly with doing justice and loving kindness. Micah first addresses us as mortals, human beings made in the image of God, out of mere dust, but made alive through God's very breath. We are thus invited into God's plan for the whole universe, justice and loving kindness. Each of us is called to share in the work in our own way and context. None of us can do our part without others or God's grace. And the moving forward question, in light of Rabbi Bunim's story, which piece of paper do you want to read today? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflection Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.